Hey, good morning, everyone. It's Wednesday, March 6th. I'm Mark Dent here with Ben Berkley, and this is the Hustle Daily Show. The NCAA, for basically as long as it has existed, has made clear that its athletes are unpaid amateur students, not professional athletes, not employees, and by no means paid. The college sports governing body has fought against college athletes gaining any compensation in courtrooms for decades, usually successfully, all while pocketing billions as the athletes play on. Now, for the first time, they're up against something big. They'll be facing off against a union. The Dartmouth men's basketball team voted to form one yesterday, setting off a legal drama that could eventually land in front of the Supreme Court. We're going to chat all about that in a bit. But first, let's give you the hits and headlines today across business and tech. Starting off, four former Twitter executives are suing Elon Musk and X Corp for $128 million plus in unpaid severance. The execs say they were fired without cause and are each owed 1 year's salary plus unvested stock. Moving on to AI, public trust in AI companies is sliding, with an Edelman study showing global faith dipping from 61% 5 years ago to 53% today. But in the US, it's even worse. Only 35% of Americans say they trust AI companies, which is a 15 percentage point drop from 5 years prior. It seems to me that a few years ago, when AI was very nebulous, people may have been okay with the companies doing it. It just seems like they're not as okay with it now that we have kind of heard more about it.
Yeah, I mean, I think there is actually something beautiful underlying here. Looking at the numbers further, it's actually pretty consistently applied politically, where Democrats, independents, and Republicans all are pretty low on their trust. So we at least do have some sort of national unity forming around just having no trust in these AI companies.
Yeah, I mean, skepticism is very much a defining characteristic, I think, no matter who you are. Okay, some news about Meta, and it's not good. In fact, everything was down for Meta, and we're not talking about stocks or anything. The company's Facebook, Instagram, Threads, and Messenger all experienced outages on Tuesday. Meta said that it was a technical issue. Onward to some more AI. Unitree Robotics said its H1 robot can run up to 7.38 miles per hour. That's 2 miles faster than Boston Dynamics' Atlas, but still slower than Usain Bolt, whose average ground speed is 23.3 miles per hour. That's a big W for the humans. Lastly, Holston's, the New Jersey ice cream parlor where the iconic final scene of The Sopranos was filmed, put the booth that served as Tony Soprano's family hangout slash crime scene up on eBay. They were expecting a $10,000 sale price to help fund renovations. A bidding war took the final sale up to $82,000. Ben, did you win this?
God, I wish. I mean, I think no matter how you ended up feeling about The Sopranos, this is about as iconic as it comes. I think looking at a final sale price of $82,000 actually surprised me. I know it's way over what they were expecting, but if I tried to make a list of TV relics cooler, there's nothing higher. I think this is the one thing. You have that in your house. You are living TV history every day. So given how much people spend on just the dumbest things, dropping millions on NFTs or whatever,
right.
I thought this would go for so much more.
Oh, same. And I mean, at the end of the day, at the very least, you get a booth in which you can sit and eat ice cream in your own house. So it's a win in so many ways. All right, let's move on to today's main story, which is all about the ongoing fight over the billions of dollars generated by college sports. I want to get into this story by telling you an older story from the 1950s. Back then, the widow of a college football player filed for workers' compensation benefits because her husband had died while playing football, while working, if you will. So, as one way to avoid liability, the NCAA started referring to athletes as student athletes. And you hear that same phrase today. A basketball player is a student athlete, a football player, a student athlete, and so on. In short, the NCAA believes its athletes are amateurs, not professionals or workers, teachers' assistants, for instance, or bookstore cashiers. However, it's been getting harder for the NCAA to maintain this ideal as member universities reap millions from athletics. More and more college athletes who've been able to make money the last few years through name, image, and likeness deals say they're actually employees. And on Tuesday, the athletes landed a big blow with the first unionized team. Ben, can you tell us a little bit more about what's going on here?
Yeah, well, let's focus on that team just for a quick aside, because we're talking about the Dartmouth Big Green men's basketball team, who on the basketball court, there's really no other way to put it, they really, really suck.
Oh.
They're dead last in the Ivy League standings.
Which is hardly a superpower conference, by the way.
That's right. Yeah, they entered last night's game against Harvard on a 9-game losing streak. I think they only had 5 wins this season, and 2 of them came against Division III programs that I've, even as a pretty big basketball fan, have like never heard of in my entire life. They're also 358th out of 363 Division I teams in scoring, which, not so good, 61 points per game.
Yeah.
Just brutal. And overall, this program's just in trouble. Like, they haven't had a winning season since 98-99. And haven't made the tournament since 59, which is the longest drought in college basketball. So, awful resume for this team. And yet, this year's Dartmouth team is going to be one of the most legendary squads in NCAA basketball history.
Right.
And that's because they've spent this entire year potentially reshaping the NCAA's business model.
So, what happened? They voted to unionize, and how could that impact the NCAA's business model?
So this actually goes back to September, which is when they filed a case with the National Labor Relations Board, and they were essentially laying out that they should be considered university employees under U.S. labor laws. And then last month, they got a director on that board to rule in their favor, which made them eligible to unionize. Mm. Takes us to yesterday, which that's exactly what they did. They landed this blow that the NCAA has been trying to avoid for decades. And they are unionized. So they joined SIEU, which is Service International Employees Union, which has 2 million plus members. So very strong backing. And obviously, there are going to be a lot of legal challenges to this because it's going on forever. We can come back to that more in a second. But if this stands, it opens the door to college athletes everywhere to really make similar moves and fight for greater compensation.
Well, and right now, as I mentioned in that intro, players do make some money. You know, they have these name, image, and likeness deals that they've been allowed to kind of cut since 2021. And some of them can make 6 figures, maybe even low 7 figures. Players also typically receive a stipend of around $5,000 a year, depending on which school they go to cover some other expenses. But, you know, a lot of the time, schools will say, we just don't have a lot of money. You know, their athletic departments consist of men's basketball, men's football, usually women's basketball that tend to generate profits, but most of the other sports don't. How do you see something like having unionized athletes and demanding salaries potentially affecting athletic departments?
I mean, that's been an argument that NCAA has really leaned on, that if you do this, it's going to damage all of the other sports outside of the big money sports. And that's probably true at the end of the day. At the same time, we exist in this world where we kind of lean back and say, let's let the market decide what someone or something is worth. And the market is very clearly saying that these athletes are adding significant value to what's a really significant business. Just looking at football and basketball alone, those two sports produced $8 billion in revenue last year.
Wow.
And these quote-unquote student athletes are really, they're the workers who are powering it. And so, you know, treating them as employees, yes, it changes the model in many ways, both good and bad, but it's hard to see the current model as anything other than really exploiting labor, given how much money is being made from their work.
And to be clear, when I was talking about that there are some programs that make money, you know, men's basketball, men's football, women's basketball often, this men's basketball program does not really generate a lot of money. It also might not have some of the same expenses because Ivy League athletes, they don't receive athletic scholarships like a lot of other teams do. So this is an example where this is a team that doesn't really make a whole lot of money for the university. But as I was reading through, I think it was in the Washington Post, a legal expert there pointed out the need to pay your employees is not contingent on how much money you make. Even if you're a big company that loses money for a year, or like Amazon, which lost money for many years, they were still paying people. So it's certainly not going to be an excuse. But I think you kind of alluded to this, that there could be a lot of challenges coming up here, potentially from Dartmouth and maybe others. What might we see?
Yeah, I mean, I think that you're going to see an appeal from Dartmouth. I think that that's something that will almost certainly go back to the NLRB. And then I think you can see a very clear path where this goes through federal courts all the way up to the Supreme Court in the end. This is something where neither side seems likely to budge. They haven't for, as we've established, a very long time. You know, I think this is ultimately the win that the athletes are looking for. They're actually gaining traction. Like, this was not going to be something that could have happened recently. I know a similar effort at Northwestern fell apart, which I know you know a lot about.
Right, yeah. And so that was, you know, several years ago. The Northwestern football team voted. No one knows how those results turned out because the NLRB basically ruled that they weren't able to form a union. So things have changed, obviously, just since then. And you were mentioning the Supreme Court, which was always on the NCAA's side for many decades, basically in the 20th century, but for the last few years has not been on the NCAA's side, really hardly any of the Supreme Court justices. So do you see this, Ben? You've been talking about this as like a huge blow for the NCAA and potentially a watershed moment.
Yeah, I mean, I think we obviously are going to see. We had our first moment yesterday where after this vote happened, the university had a choice to go to the bargaining table with this new union or appeal. They're going to appeal.
Yeah.
And so I think that the actual results are so far off that we don't know. But this is something that's going to continue to be chipped away at. There are other cases that are ongoing. I know there's another one being litigated around USC and the Pac-12 conference, or what remains of the Pac-12 conference.
Yeah.
And so there are just going to be continuous challenges to this in a way that the NCAA hasn't seen yet. And it just doesn't feel like they're getting any better at winning these arguments.
Yeah. So the business of college sports could be changing even more, even though it's already changed a lot just the last few years. And maybe Dartmouth basketball will win a few more fans because of this.
I mean, they could start by winning a couple more games, but I suppose they've got bigger fish to fry right now.
Exactly. Well, that's going to do it for us today. Thank you, everyone, for tuning into the Hustle Daily Show. We're a proud part of the HubSpot podcast network. Our editor today is Robert Hartwig, and our executive producer is Darren Clark. We've got a lot more tech and business coverage in our newsletter. So if you're not subscribed, please go get signed up at thehustle.co/email, and we'll see you tomorrow.